Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to take a look at the Lord's Prayer for the last few days, taking our cue from passage on Tuesday. The church gave us the gospel reading, Jesus teaching the apostles how to pray. Here at the beginning of the season of Lent, as we, this penitential season, a season in which we sort of step out of normal time, you might say, we approach each day a little bit differently than we would throughout the rest of the year. We understand this is a time when we're meant to take the spiritual battle, the combat we have, our battle against sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and the rest of it, take it very seriously because the church is leading us through a very important part of the rhythm of Jesus' life. We're being brought into the journey toward Calvary. We're concretely taking in the reading we just heard last week where Jesus, I think it was just before Ash Wednesday, that the call to the disciples was given us in the gospel where Jesus said, you know, if you want to come after me, if you want to be my follower, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow me. And so that's one way of looking at what Lent is about. It's about denying ourselves. What does Jesus mean by that? Because he certainly laid the terms down of what it meant to be his follower. That's his prerogative. He's the one who said, look, if you really want to come after me, count the cost and understand that if you're serious about following me, I'm totally serious about leading you to become everything that my Father has made you to be. I will disciple you. I will teach you my way of life. I'll pass it on to you. But the assumption Jesus is saying is that we come with the intention that we're all in. We're not half in. We're not, you know, one foot in, one foot out. Say, Jesus, I'm a weak man. I'm a weak woman. I'm sinful. I'm inconsistent. I struggle. My heart is hard. Sometimes I'm stiff-necked just like the people that he's mad at in the Gospels, you know, at times the Pharisees and others. But Lord, I want to be your follower. And the want to is what matters to the Lord. He'll get us where we need to go. He just can't give us the want to. I mean, we can say, Lord, I want to, but my want to is weak. Can I please help me? Give me more of your Holy Spirit. Help me be docile to the Spirit so that I can pursue you with greater hunger and greater intentionality, greater focus. I can pay attention to you. And so Jesus is saying, come follow me. And the church is sober and serious in this season because we need to understand that to get where we need to go, we can't just live on automatic pilot. We can't just live the rhythms of the world around us, especially a world that's spinning away from a distinctive Christian way of life. And so we see, so we've been following over the last few days, talking about elements of the Lord's Prayer. And it's so foundational to the whole Christian life and what's revealed in it, in its fundamental acknowledgments of God as Father, the petitions that are part of it. Jesus is saying to us, don't be anxious, don't be afraid, don't let your conversation with God mainly be worrying before God and everything that you're anxious about throwing up to him. He said, look, he knows what you need. Now let me teach you how to pray in a way that will be most valuable for you because it'll orient your whole life the way I oriented my life. I'll teach you what matters most and will allow you to get to where your heart really wants to go. So we ended up, just spent 2 days on that first sentence, our Father who art in heaven. Now we're going to talk about the next part, hallowed be thy name, paragraph 2807 of the Catechism. By the way, the Catechism is such a blessing. There's just so much rich teaching there and every key element of our faith. I'd encourage you just to familiarize yourself with it. It's easy to find. All you have to do is Google it, whatever, Yahoo it or whatever you do to find it. Get a hard copy of it. It's very easily accessible, filled with scripture. It's easy to understand. It's just so well done. Paragraph 2807, the term to hallow, hallowed be thy name, is to be understood here not primarily in its causative sense, that is, only God hallows and makes holy, but above all, in an evaluative sense, that is this, to recognize as holy or to treat in a holy way. Jesus is saying, Number one, start here. God is your father. You're his idea. The whole meaning of your existence is to live with your father, to live in his family. You're not alone. You're part of a whole family. So it's our father, our common father. And as a family, what do we want to do first? We want to hallow his name. We want to recognize the holiness of our father. And we want to treat him in a holy way. And we want to live in a way that makes us look like we're children of God, right? So the paragraph goes on and says, and so in adoration, this invocation is sometimes understood as praise and thanksgiving, that is, to hallow his name. But this petition is here taught to us by Jesus, a petition, a desire, and an expectation in which God and man are involved together. Beginning with this first petition to our Father, we are immersed, it says, in the innermost mystery of his Godhead and the drama of the salvation of our humanity. Asking the Father that his name be made holy draws us into his plan of loving kindness for the fullness of time. And he quotes scripture here. It says, according to his purpose, which he has set forth in Christ, that we might, what? Be holy and blameless before him in love. Ultimately, all of this, what holiness means and where we're going, it's about loving the way God loves. It's about sharing in who God is. God is love. Now, it's important to be clear, it's a love that's defined by God, and it's expressed perfectly in Jesus. It's not just the love that the world talks about. It's agape. It's laying down your life. It's expressed in obedience and humility and saying yes wholeheartedly to God and entrusting our lives to him. And whatever he says is Jesus will show us as we walk with him the path to Calvary. What Jesus shows us is that obedience and trust to the Father is meant to come forth from us even to the point of shedding our own blood. We trust him so much. We know no matter what the circumstance, we are in the hands of a loving Father. And Jesus on Calvary was hallowing. He was honoring. He was recognizing the holiness and majesty of his Father. He was expressing back to the Father the love that he was being received. And yes, Jesus understood the command of the Father, even leading him to Calvary, to undergo what he underwent, the suffering that the Father was expressing and calling him into, the fullness of love that he was to express for the sake of the salvation of the world. And despite the shock of it, despite the, you know, Jesus in Gethsemane, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. No, that was on the cross. Sorry, let me back up. Father, take this cup from me. That is the trauma of that moment of sweating blood. He was tempted to fear in the way human beings ultimately fear and always seem to surrender to. But he confronted that fear and terror and the darkness of the kingdom of the enemy. And he said, but not my will, Father, but yours be done. He was believing the Father. He was trusting the Father. And in that, he was hallowing. He was honoring the Father. He was living a life worthy that did justice to God, the good God, who was working in and through him for the salvation of the world. Paragraph 2809 says, the holiness of God is the inaccessible center of his eternal mystery. What is revealed of it in creation history, Scripture calls glory, the radiance of his majesty. What is glory? The radiance of God's majesty. In making man in his image and likeness, God crowned him with glory and honor. But by sinning, man fell, and he fell short of the glory of God, is what the Catechism is reminding us, just quoting Scripture here. From that time on, God was to manifest his holiness by revealing and giving his name in order to restore man to the image of his creator. Paragraph 28:12, finally, in Jesus, the name of the Holy God is revealed and given to us in the flesh as Savior, revealed by what He is, by His word, and by His sacrifice. This is the heart of His priestly prayer, quote, Holy Father, for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be consecrated in the truth. Jesus said that in the Gospels. He's offering His life. He's consecrating, setting apart His life, making it an offering so that we too could be consecrated in the truth about who God is, who we are, where we find human fulfillment. Because He sanctifies His own name, Jesus reveals to us the name of the Father. At the end of Christ's Passover, the Father gives Him the name that's above every name. Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's so beautiful. That's taken from Philippians chapter 2. Jesus laying down His life, honoring the Father, hallowing His name through radical, complete obedience, entrusting Himself to the Father, showing that the Father is utterly trustworthy. That gives glory to God. Jesus died. One of us finally did it. All the way to the end, gave God what belongs to God, and God raised Him up and gave Him glory. Just as Adam made a decision, Adam and Eve, to believe a lie and acted on that lie, and that decision and that action denied God's authority, denied the truth and goodness of God, fell to the temptations of the enemy, and brought sin and death to reign in the human race, to fall from glory. So Jesus, in living a life that hallowed the Father, that honored His name, not only just in His thoughts or His emotions or sentiments, but in His whole life, in the whole way that He lived, even to the point of death, and people thought it was madness, but Jesus understood. He humbled Himself, becoming obedient. Jesus, isn't it so beautiful, friends? Jesus exalts humility. He exalts obedience. The world doesn't like those things. God loves them. And Jesus shows us the destiny of humility and obedience, saying yes to God no matter what the cost. It led the Father to raise Him from the dead and to give Jesus glory, to allow Him to enter in and give Him the full glory and make Him Lord of all, the name above every other name. And so now, His act of humility and obedience leads to our being glorified if we die in Christ, if we live in Him, and if we die in Him. It's so beautiful. Paragraph 28:13, in the waters of baptism, we have been washed, sanctified, and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Spirit of our God. Our Father calls us to holiness in the whole of life, in the whole of life, and that's possible because Jesus has come to dwell in us, and the Father has come to dwell in us in the Spirit. Friends, I hope the words of the Catechism, the words of Scripture, and these words can penetrate your heart today, and you can just see how precious it is, this gift that you've been given, that you become a child of God, and that we've been given the privilege together to live a life, the one life we're given, to hallow the name of the Holy God, who is our Father in heaven. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.